This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
May I have your attention, please? Now, taking the airwaves on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's own, Gwen and Chris.
Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
I love your confidence, old Bruce Koepka.
By the way, before
Bruce
you get
Koepka.
To...
Bruce Koepka!
Dang it!
It's his evil twin!
And Chris Ello.
Jarvis Landry. Landry, bless him.
Bless him.
A lot of expectations for this Cleveland team under new coach Freddie Kitchens. I've been hanging around you guys too long.
You have.
I'm starting to mispronounce every name.
You very rarely do this.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, last hour of Gwen and Chris.
For a while,
yes. We will be off tomorrow because the Padres play at 4 o'clock. We will be off Monday. No. Yes, Monday as well.
Keep going.
And Tuesday. Yes, so...
I feel so bad for all the listeners out there. You won't get to hear our show again till next Wednesday.
Absorb this last hour as much as you can.
Meanwhile, the crowd's going crazy down there. I see people dancing on rooftops across the way here.
All right. Earlier today, we were able to catch up with the Washington Post's Sam Fortier. He joined us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline.
Talking some baseball here, joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline from the Washington Post, one of my favorite newspapers in this country and one of their best sports writers, Sam Fortier, joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. Sam, how are you today?
I'm doing well. It's glad to be back. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. If you guys remember, Sam used to cover the team formerly known as the San Diego Chargers, but now has switched coasts and is covering the Washington Nationals. And I thought it'd be good to catch up with you a little bit, Sam, and just talk a little bit about Steven Strasburg. I think people here locally, although always focus on their own baseball team, still want to follow their former players. And this has really been a great year for Steven Strasburg. I've seen some people who think he has a shot at the Cy Young. Some people think he's just on the outskirts of the Cy Young picture. But it's been a pretty good year for him. 15 wins. How's he doing and how's he feeling?
Right. I think he definitely is having one of the better years of his career. His ERA is 3.82, which obviously is a little higher than he's used to. But he does have a major league leading 15 wins, you kind of debate what the wins mean. But I think the biggest thing is just his consistency. He's had 25 starts. He hasn't missed one this year. He's really, he's not just giving the Nationals a chance to win. He's often a chance, the reason they are winning. And he's just been so consistent. And I think for a pitcher that so much of his early career was defined by inconsistency, his ability to turn that around during the last 2 years, or, 3 years, has really been a welcome surprise. And I think he understands that he's put himself in a pretty advantageous situation here. And I know, he's not the most, the biggest name for the fans, and he's not the most engaging guy. But I think what he's done for this baseball team hasn't gone unnoticed.
Steven has always been so tough to figure out, because he keeps things so close to the vest, Sam. Has there been – you talked about the consistency – is there any connection between Max Scherzer showing up on that staff and Steven Strasburg slowly but surely becoming more consistent as a pitcher? I know they've had their words in the past, or at least one time that I can think of. Has that kind of rubbed off on Steven at all this year?
That's a great question. And I think it's tough to figure out. Like you were saying, he's tough to scrutinize. But I would say just this year, I think a big part of the national success, and I would say even Steven's success, is not necessarily Max Scherzer, but the Nationals went out last year and acquired, last offseason, and acquired Patrick Corbin, who I'm sure y'all are familiar with from his time with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
And now the Nationals have Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin. They slot in veteran Anibal Sanchez in that fourth slot. And I think that rotation, not even just having those 1-2 punch, but having four guys that can that have playoff experience. They've pitched in big games. They've had big expectations in their careers. I think having those four guys and just keeping them on schedule, obviously Max Scherzer is hurt right now, so that has put a little bit of kink in things. But having those four guys and kind of the expectations and you know, those four being in a room together, I think that is, you know, going back to something Anthony Lynn used to say, the Chargers coach, I mean, he was a big iron sharpens iron guy, as I know a lot of coaches are, but I believe that is maybe what we're seeing here.
Steven Strasburg having a big year in Washington, D.C., and we're joined by Sam Fortier of the Washington Post on the SDCCU fan hotline. One last thing about Strasburg, at least at this point, I mean, you go back and he was the number one overall draft choice, and I don't think anybody out here in San Diego forgets that, but maybe people around baseball forget that because he was inconsistent, as you said, early in his career. Do the people in Washington, do they feel like Steven Strasburg has lived up to what they hoped, or would he ever be able to live up to what they would hope for?
A couple of years ago, someone asked Steven if he thought he had lived up to his, you know, what was expected from him in his career. And you know, I'm not going to hit the quote right here, but essentially the essence of what he said was, you know, how could I? I mean, at this point, when he was built up to be, I don't know if Major League pitcher could have ever accomplished everything that he was sort of foretold to.
Sam, we talked about how close. One more question about Strasburg. We talked about how close he keeps things to the vest. Clearly, the elephant in the room is that he has an opt out at the end of this year. I doubt there's been any indication from him personally, but is there anything circulating out that way that he may opt in, may opt out?
Right. So just to kind of give the context here, he signed, you know, for 7 years, $175 million. It runs through 2023. He was asked in June, you know, it's not crazy to think he could outperform this contract, so would opting out be a possibility? He said that's for after the season. But then he did go on to say he thinks, like basically, here's what he said. The exact quote was, the Nationals have shown a willingness so far to not necessarily go into a rebuild. The clock's ticking for me career-wise, and I want to have every opportunity to get there and hopefully win one. Obviously, I think that the two most pointed parts of that quote are the so far. The Nationals were you know, at one point seemed out of the season, but they decided not to rebuild. They played themselves into it. And also for Steven to kind of acknowledge the clock's ticking for me career-wise, which, I mean, one, that sort of makes me feel old.
right? No kidding.
Hey, look, I announced his games in college, all right? So that's how old I am.
Right. But I think that is, you know, sort of an acknowledgement. He's going to be 31 at the end of the season. And I think when you think about his opt-out, basically what he's thinking is, will someone pay him? And obviously, I'm not in Steven Strasburg's mind, as we've said, he's hard to figure out. But logistically, it would be worth it for him to opt out if someone gave him a contract longer than 4 years and for more than $100 million. As we brought up Patrick Corbin earlier, last year he was only a year younger and a lot less accomplished, and he got 6 years, $140 million. Would a GM be willing to give more than 4 years, more than $100 million? If that's true, if someone were to do that, then logistically, financially, it would make sense for Steven to opt out. Right. As far as what he will do, we're not sure.
I can certainly say there are some San Diego fans out here that are hopeful.
Yeah.
Hopeful that ownership is willing to do it. We'll see what happens if he even opts out. So,
well, he's still got a house here, so he may not need quite as much money. He's already got the house taken care of. Joining us is Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. Of course, the Nationals have become a great story here the second half of the season, and I think people forget that they've done all this without Bryce Harper, and, you know, in letting him go, I think also, and he winds up in the same division. A lot of people figured, well, this is going to be a Phillies season. You got the Braves coming back. Nationals got to be very pleased with where they're at right now, considering everything that's happened.
Right, absolutely. I think, especially, you know, in mid-May, this team was 19-31, which was the worst record they've been at since, you know, the dark days of pre-Bryce Harper, pre-Steven Strasburg. For them to pitch their way, essentially the starting pitching, and the lineup has provided a requisite amount of pop with Anthony Rendon at third base and Juan Soto, who was kind of seen as the left-handed bat, I think that's replaced Bryce Harper, the young phenom. With those two, you know, those two anchoring the lineup with that four-man rotation we talked about, that's really allowed them to play themselves back into contention. And I think, you know, if you look at that rotation, those four guys I mentioned earlier, Scherzer, Strasburg, Sanchez, and Corbin, I mean, man, in a seven-game series, I think, or even in a one, you know, in a one-game playoff with Max Scherzer, I mean, I'd take that. I think that's a competitive team.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Sam Fortier joins us here, Washington Post on the SDCCU fan hotline. Davey Martinez has got to be feeling pretty good about himself. I mean, he was on the burning hot seat for like the first 2-3 months of the season, and then this team started playing the way I think his staff and himself thought they could play, and now he's sitting atop of the wild card race right now with a chance, even at the division still. He's got to be feeling pretty good about himself in this staff and this team.
Absolutely. Sort of that 19-31 record that I mentioned, they actually went to New York and they got swept in four games and they came home in mid-May. And when they got swept at that exact moment, there was a tornado warning in D.C. And, you know, I'm a writer. I love the tortured metaphor. So I was thinking that looked absolutely cataclysmic for the Nationals. So, we didn't know what was going to happen. We thought, you know, Davey might be out of a job soon. Yeah. And his ability to kind of hone in and I mean, it's kind of crazy because you always think, you know, these cliches, the one day at a time, the show up to the ballpark and try to go 1-0 today. You think that is, you know, you got to do something more than that. But really, I think that's just his embodiment as the former player mindset. And it's really allowed them to climb back into it. And that, more than anything, more than the X's and O's, you know, more than the strategic double switches or anything like that, that sort of mentality to keep people calm, not let them see the national sweat, has really allowed them to play back into it. And you're right, Dave Martinez is feeling great about it, but he wouldn't tell you because he wants to go 1-0 tomorrow.
That's right.
He should stand up in front of everybody and say, "I told you so." He's earned that right because everyone around baseball had him fired. So, I mean, he's really been a great comeback story. Last thing, and I'm going to probably frustrate some of the fans in San Diego with this question, because Trey Turner was an original Padre farmhand and, of course, never played here in San Diego. We're pretty happy with our shortstop right now that we have, Fernando Tatis Jr., but what did we miss out on in Trey Turner? Because this guy is underrated. I know he's hit for the cycle this year. He hits for power, speed, defense, everything. Underrated superstar ball player, as far as I can tell.
I think you absolutely hit it on the head there. I mean, his run, his speed at the top of the lineup, his ability to get on base, it just applies pressure to starters. I mean, if he gets on to start the game, I think actually a perfect example of this was against the Mets last weekend. You know, Jacob DeGrom, reigning Cy Young, National League Cy Young guy, he gets on base, and all of a sudden DeGrom's worried about him. DeGrom gets out of his rhythm. Trey Turner steals second base, and the Nationals have they score three runs in the first inning off of one of the best pitchers in baseball, and it's just sort of, you know, his ability to get on base with his speed. It was an infield single he reached on, and his ability to just stress and kind of set up the rest of the lineup. Not to mention his superlative defense and range. I mean, that's sort of obviously you guys, you know, you take your shortstop for sure. But Trey Turner is a special player for sure.
It would have not been a nice piece to move on over to a different position if they had to.
We take them both. All right, we'll take both of them. And when you see Strasburg, tell them Chris and Tony say hello. And we're still saving a spot for him out here on the Padres roster if he ever wants to change his mind and come out this way.
Absolutely. I'm not sure how much time Steven will have, but I'll relay it for sure.
Thanks so much. Hey,
thanks,
Sam, appreciate the time. Great talking to you.
Of course, always great hopping on with you guys. I appreciate it.
That was Sam Fortenoy on the SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. Apply now at SDCCU.com. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. When we come back, however, Odd Thomas and his NFC East preview. So hungry. I've been talking about food all break.
That's on the air.
I know.
Oh, okay. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris Scraby. You haven't turned your mic on once all day.
That's probably why the show has gone so clean.
That's why it's been a nice, smooth, good stuff today.
I could help myself, Scraby. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
It was low-hanging fruit.
We need to stop talking about food, though, during the break.
I am starving now.
Me too.
I'm ready for the NFL season, but there's one division that I'm a little bit uninformed about. That's because we haven't heard Odd Thomas's NFC East preview yet. So now, let's bring in Odd Thomas for a little talk about... What, Odd Thomas? Let me properly introduce you.
Jeez. Did you wait for the introduction to be done?
Odd Thomas.
Hell no.
Thomas.
Odd. Hell no.
Do you know the NFC East is the only division that every team has won a Super Bowl in?
No. That is a great fact.
That is an odd fact. I think you should quit while you're ahead.
Okay.
Yep, we're done.
All right, we'll start with the Dallas Cowboys. The team won't look too much different from last season, but the return of Jason Witten should help the offense. But the biggest thing on offense is their three-headed monster of quarterback, running back, and wide receiver all want to be paid. And we've seen Zeke not showing up to camp and is still down in Mexico training, but looks apparently is in the best shape of his life. 222 pounds.
The lowest he's ever been.
Yeah.
He just knocked over three security guards with one move the other day. So he's rolling.
Kellen Moore takes over as the new offensive coordinator after the
Kellen
Cowboys.
Moore? Is that the old Boise State quarterback?
And you think it's funny.
Oh, my God.
Is
that him? Just quarterback in Boise State like 5 minutes ago.
He broke a bone in training camp, which let Dak start. So Dak, his offensive coordinator, was his former backup.
Man, that's going through the ranks quick, right?
Yeah, he was not playing college too long ago.
So with Dak threw for a career high last year, 3,800 yards, and Zeke put up 2,001 total yards from scrimmage. So, and their offense finished 24th ranked last year. So, Kellen Moore, look for them to open up that offense. And they basically replaced Cole Beasley with Randall Cobb. We move to the Washington Redskins.
That's a downgrade.
GM Doug Williams had to scramble for quarterbacks this offseason after it was revealed that Alex Smith most likely will be out the 2019 season after that gruesome broken leg. They went out and acquired veteran quarterback Case Keenum, who started 6-10 last year for the Broncos. Couldn't find the magic he did the year before with the Vikings, but then they drafted first-round pick Dwayne Haskins. We were watching on the screen, threw a pretty good ball, and they got another big surprise in the first round with Montez Sweat falling to them, who's an elite pass rusher out of Mississippi State. But in the combine and all the tests leading up, he had a heart condition, which kind of made his draft stock fall a little bit. But so far, it seems to be going really well in camp for him.
Sounds like a great combination there in D.C. this year. A rookie quarterback with a broken arm and a pass rusher with a broken heart. Perfect. Daniel Snyder will be a happy guy.
Yeah, we were talking before. Kevin O'Connell, the new offensive coordinator there, will have a stacked backfield with Adrian Peterson, Chris Thompson, and the return of Darius Grice, who tore his ACL
Who was that? Darius who?
Darius Grice.
Grice?
At LSU.
Is it Grice?
Grice, no. Yeah.
With no R?
There's no R.
I feel
R
like
there.
It's Geis.
I'm pretty positive it's
Darius
Geis.
Darius Geis.
Make sure that one's on the board, too.
It might be old hose raspberry. Yeah.
We just need to run it in a loop. Old hose and Darius Grice.
All right, we'll move on to the Philadelphia Eagles.
You sure, you want to?
It is Darius Geis.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, he just added an R because he wanted to.
Yeah.
The R looks like it should go there.
R's are cheap. They're only worth 1 point in Scrabble, so you throw one in.
All right, so it looks like the football world is going to see if the Philadelphia Eagles franchise quarterback is actually capable of staying healthy for a full season, because no longer does he have Big Nick energy behind him, former Super Bowl MVP now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. GM Howie Roseman spent the offseason trying to improve the offense that was ranked 14th in the NFL by trading for running back Jordan Howard, veteran receiver DeSean Jackson, and drafting Andre Dillard in the first round, who will most likely replace the eventual retirement of Jason Peters. Defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz has to improve his whole squad last year that ranked 23rd overall, bringing in defensive tackle Malik Jackson, who was in Jacksonville last year at 3.5 sacks and 12 quarterback hits.
Say everything you want about the Eagles, and because they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Correct.
And last year, they were a whisker away from the NFC Championship game. They almost had the Saints in that playoff game. So I don't know that they've fallen that far. Feels like they have, but...
By the way,
they may not have.
This, before you finish, the speech John Gruden gave is really working.
The Raiders are just
pummeling the Cardinals.
Pummeling right the Arizona Cardinals. Maybe Gruden should have saved that speech.
He might
have
saved it for a regular season game, right?
Yeah.
So move to the final team. That is the G-Men, the New York Giants. General manager Dave Gettleman has turned some heads this offseason by trading away Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns and signing almost three dozen free agents, selecting 10 more young players in this year's draft. Many of the experts accuse Gettleman of overdrafting on the first round picks, especially number 6 overall Duke quarterback Daniel Jones.
I'm so hungry. Talking about food all break.
That's on the air.
I know.
Oh. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris Scraby. You haven't turned your mic on once all day.
That's probably why the show has gone so clean.
That's why it's been a nice, smooth, yeah, good stuff today.
I couldn't help myself, Scraby. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
It was low-hanging fruit.
We need to stop talking about food, though, during the break.
I am starving now.
Me too.
I'm ready for the NFL season, but there's one division that I'm a little bit uninformed about. That's because we haven't heard Odd Thomas's NFC East preview yet. So now let's bring in Odd Thomas for a little talk about what, Odd Thomas? Let me properly introduce you.
Jeez. Did you wait for the introduction to be done?
Odd Thomas.
Hell no. Buddy.
Thomas. Odd.
Hell no.
Did you know the NFC East is the only division that every team has won a Super Bowl in?
No. That is a great fact. That is an odd fact. I think you should quit while you're ahead.
Okay.
Yep, we're done.
All right, we'll start with the Dallas Cowboys. The team won't look too much different from last season, but the return of Jason Witten should help the offense. But the biggest thing on offense is their three-headed monster of quarterback, running back, and wide receiver all want to be paid. And we've seen Zeke not showing up to camp and is still down in Mexico training, but looks apparently is in the best shape of his life. 222 pounds.
The lowest he's ever been.
Yeah.
He just knocked over three security guards with one move the other day. So he's rolling.
Kellen Moore takes over as the new offensive coordinator after the
Kellen
Cowboys.
Moore? Is that the old Boise State quarterback?
And you think it's funny.
Oh, my God. Is
he
that broke, his just quarterback in Boise State like 5 minutes ago?
He broke a bone in training camp, which let Dak start. So Dak, his offensive coordinator, was his former backup.
Man, wow. That's going through the ranks quick, right?
Yeah, he was not playing college too long ago.
So with Dak threw for a career high last year, 3,800 yards, and Zeke put up 2,001 total yards from scrimmage. So, and their offense finished 24th ranked last year. So, Kellen Moore looked for them to open up that offense, and they basically replaced Cole Beasley with Randall Cobb. Moved to the Washington Redskins.
That's a downgrade.
GM Doug Williams had to scramble for quarterbacks this offseason after it was revealed that Alex Smith most likely will be out the 2019 season after that gruesome broken leg. They went out and acquired veteran quarterback Case Keenum, who started 6-10 last year for the Broncos. Couldn't find the magic he did the year before with the Vikings, but then they drafted first-round pick Dwayne Haskins. We were watching on the screen, threw a pretty good ball, and they got another big surprise in the first round with Montez Sweat falling to them, who's an elite pass rusher out of Mississippi State. But in the combine and all the tests leading up, he had a heart condition, which kind of made his draft stock fall a little bit. But so far, it seems to be going really well in camp for him.
Sounds like a great combination there in D.C. this year. A rookie quarterback with a broken arm and a pass rusher with a broken heart. Perfect. Daniel Snyder will be a happy guy.
Yeah, we were talking before. Kevin O'Connell, the new offensive coordinator there, will have a stacked backfield with Adrian Peterson, Chris Thompson, and the return of Darius Grice, who tore his ACL first.
Who was that? Darius who?
Darius Grice.
Grice?
At LSU.
Is it Grice?
Grice, no. Yeah.
With no R?
There's
I
no
R.
I feel like
there.
It's Geist.
I'm pretty positive
Darius
it's Geist.
Darius
Grice. Make sure that one's on the board, too.
It might be old hose raspberry.
We just need to run it in a loop. Oh, hoes and Darius Grice.
All right, we'll move on to the Philadelphia Eagles.
You sure you want to?
It is Darius Grice.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, he just added an R because he wanted to.
Yeah.
The R looks like it should go there.
R's are cheap. They're only worth 1 point in Scrabble, so you throw one in.
All right, so it looks like the football world is going to see if the Philadelphia Eagles franchise quarterback is actually capable of staying healthy for a full season, because no longer does he have Big Nick energy behind him, former Super Bowl MVP now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. GM Howie Roseman spent the offseason trying to improve the offense that was ranked 14th in the NFL by trading for running back Jordan Howard, veteran receiver DeSean Jackson, and drafting Andre Dillard in the first round, who will most likely replace the eventual retirement of Jason Peters. Defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz has to improve his whole squad last year that ranked 23rd overall, bringing in defensive tackle Malik Jackson, who was in Jacksonville last year at 3.5 sacks and 12 quarterback hits.
Say everything you want about the Eagles, and because they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Correct.
And last year, they were a whisker away from the NFC Championship game. They almost had the Saints in that playoff game. So I don't know that they've fallen that far. Feels like they have, but...
By the way,
they may not have.
This, before you finish, the speech John Gruden gave is really working.
The Raiders are just
pummeling the Cardinals.
Pummeling the Arizona Cardinals. Maybe Gruden should have saved that speech.
He might have saved it for a regular season game, right?
Yeah.
So we'll move to the final team. That is the G-Men, the New York Giants. General manager Dave Gettleman has turned some heads this offseason by trading away Odell Beckham Jr. to the Browns and signing almost 36 free agents, selecting 10 more young players in this year's draft. Many of the experts accuse Gettleman of overdrafting on the first round picks, especially number 6 overall Duke quarterback Daniel Jones. Despite being what appears to be the perfect understudy to the current franchise quarterback Eli Manning, though, many thought he'd still be there for the Giants at 17th overall, where they got
Dexter
Lawrence.
I love when people criticize guys for drafting a guy too early. I just think that is, like, how does Mel Kiper know that? Maybe the guy wouldn't have been there at 17, number one. Maybe number two, maybe he's good enough to be where he was picked. You want a guy, get a guy.
I thought it was funny on NFL Live on ESPN. One of the reporters was talking about how the head coach is like kind of pointing his finger at everybody's face. And Ryan Clark stood up and said, if you don't knock it off... We saw your face at that draft conference, after the post-draft conference you guys had. You didn't look like a guy who wanted this Jones kid, and all of a sudden he has a good game and you want to point your finger at everybody.
Yeah. I mean, come on now. I hope Jones is good just to make all those guys eat their words.
Including their head coach.
Yeah.
Including the coach.
They're going to have some trouble on offense, though, because Gettleman brought in veteran Golden Tate receiver to help with the replace OBJ. But... he's been suspended for 4 games due to a tested positive for a banned substance. They also had Sterling Shepard break his hand, so he's out to start the season.
There's
and
one
Corey
more
Coleman tore his ACL. So they're very lacking at depth at the wide receiver.
Oh,
though.
Yeah, that Odell Beckham guy, he's gone too.
So look for the box to be stacked against Saquon Barkley.
He's going to be facing 12 in the box.
Everybody thinks Barkley's the number one fantasy football pick, though.
Sleeper
I've not
the Giants,
seen him anywhere but number one.
Evan Ingram. Could be a sleeper for the Giants this year.
Who?
Ingram.
Evan Ingram.
The tight end.
Oh. Out of Mizzou.
Okay. Why? They're not going to have to guard any of the wide receivers.
Touche. Or they're going to have 12 in the box to stop Saquon, though. So he might.
Ingram won't be guarded.
He might be free down the field somewhere.
Down the field. But Daniel Jones was drafted too early
to
throw him the ball.
He's not going to be able to get it to him.
No. All right.
That's the NFC East.
There it is. And what a great fact that was by Odd Thomas. The only division where each team has won a Super Bowl.
That was a good fact.
All right, I have some interesting facts coming up as part of our NFL quick quiz. We did a NCAA quick quiz a couple of weeks ago. Odd Thomas just destroyed you guys.
He did.
So you guys need to bounce back on the NFL quick quiz.
Pulverized.
Good word, Odd Thomas. Sound like a Vince McMahon disciple there. Also coming up, Triple P.
Yes!
PPP. Oh, goodness.
The Triple Peers are in full force.
You know what all that means. Don't go anywhere. All right, here we go. 6:37 is the time. Gwen and Chris, 6:38 is the time. Gravy, be quiet. time for Chris's quick NFL quiz.
You got some music? Can we get some music?
Yeah, give me a little something.
Yeah.
All right, the quick NFL quiz is really fun and simple. It just kind of gets you reacquainted with the National Football League. Thomas, Scraby, and Tony will all answer. And it is a quick quiz. We'll see who does the best. But I wanted to throw one stat out because Thomas thinks he has the stat of the day by saying that the NFC East is the only division where every team has won a Super Bowl.
So are you going to top him right here?
I don't know. I'll let you decide.
Okay.
No team in the National Football League last season finished 8-8.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Nobody.
So 7-9 or 9-7, they just missed the 8-8.
7-8-1.
There was a couple of ties.
Yeah.
But no one was 8-8 last year. I think that's kind of odd.
That is odd.
That's good.
All right, here
he
we go.
That's good.
Thank you, Thomas.
That's good.
All right, we're going to start off with an easy one. And what I do is I give you two teams. You tell me who had the better record. Or, just to add a little twist, did the two teams have the same record?
Ah.
So you have to pick either one team or the other, or tell me they were the same.
I'm good at this.
Here we go. Easiest one first. Chargers or Patriots? Who had the best record last year between those two teams?
Chargers.
Chargers.
All three of you got it right.
Ding!
Chargers were 12-4. Patriots were 11-5. Next up, Bengals, Broncos.
Ooh.
Both tough bad. One. Neither team was in the playoffs.
Same.
Bengals.
Who said Bengals?
Scraby.
You're wrong.
Oh.
Same. Both were 6-10.
I always play the field and it doesn't work.
Indianapolis Colts, Baltimore Ravens, both in the postseason last year. Who had a better record?
Ravens.
Same.
Colts.
Who said same?
Scravy.
You're right.
Oh, yes!
All right, so all three of you have 2 points so far.
Nice.
Everybody's favorite, the Cleveland Browns, or the just missed the playoffs Tennessee Titans.
Titans.
Correct. They won 9. Cleveland was 7-8-1.
Mm-hmm.
This one's for you, Scraby.
Oh,
but
yay.
It's for all of you.
Oh, okay.
It's the first weekend of the season matchup this year. But who had a better record last year? The 49ers or the Yuccaneers?
Oh, that's a great one.
The Bucks.
Bucks had a better record, says Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm going to say
Tampa.
Tampa?
I'm going to say the same, 4-12.
Same. Thomas and Tony are correct.
Oh.
The Yuccaneers were 5-11, the Niners were 4-12.
Oh, the Yuccaneers.
That was a sleeping good one.
Okay, these teams actually played each other in the playoffs last year. Who had the better record, Dallas or Seattle?
Dallas.
All three are wrong. They had the same record, 10-6.
They sure did.
Okay.
They sure did.
I remember now.
You now remember? Mm-hmm. All right. Right now, the scoreboard, if you're interested, Thomas 4, Tony Gwynn 4, Matt Scraby 3.
Real quick, you know why I said Dallas, right?
Because they played at home.
They did.
So it made sense that they
would
have had the better
record. But they won their division, so that's why they got the home game.
Exactly.
Great way of doing that.
No, that was good thinking.
Yeah.
But wrong.
It was.
But wrong.
All right. Who had a better record last year? Ryan Tannehill's Miami Dolphins or Aaron Rodgers' Green Bay Packers?
Ooh. Pack.
Same.
Dolphins didn't tie, did they?
You're all three wrong. The Dolphins had a better record than the Packers.
As soon as he said they didn't tie,
I
remembered that they had one tie.
The Packers were 6-9-1, and the Dolphins actually were 7-9, which is terrible, but not as bad as everybody thought.
That might be the most shocking thing we've done all show, is that the Dolphins were 7-9.
It really is surprising, because everyone expects them to be 0-16 this year, which they might be.
I think you have brainwashes into thinking that they're like this
the worst
horrible
team ever.
They haven't won in like 30 years.
Everyone else has brainwashed me into thinking that. Because, I mean, it's just supposed to be such a debacle. And Who did we have on from Miami who told us?
Channing Crowder.
Channing Crowder. He said the over-under number is 5. Bet under.
He was great, Tony. We're going to have to get him on.
Great.
When,
did you not hear that? Channing Crowder was great. Yeah, he was you got to be on when he's on.
The best when you ask him if he could still play, he's like, well, if someone hits me hard enough, I might explode just all IPA. I drink a lot of beer.
He said he could cover a 7-yard space on the goal line.
That's all. He's got about 7 steps, and that's it.
All right, we got a few left here to decide this. Who had a better record, the Oakland Raiders or the New York Jets last year?
I think the
Raiders.
Same.
Raiders, same. Thomas?
Jets.
Scraby ties it up.
Yes!
They had the same record, 4-12. And all of you now have 4 points.
Ho, ho, ho.
We are down to 4 to go.
Sweating.
Who was better? Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills or the G-Men.
The Bills were surprising, Bills. So I'm going to say Bills.
Bills, Bills, Bills. Winner, winner, winner.
Chicken dinner.
Bills were 6-10. Giants were 5-11. This is maybe an interesting one, maybe not. Was it the Los Angeles Rams or the Kansas City Chiefs? Who had a better record last year?
Rams.
Rams. Same.
Who said same?
Scraby.
Wrong.
Oh, no. I just put myself... Oh, no.
Rams were 13-3. Chiefs were 12-4.
Oh, I thought they were 13-3.
Thomas, 6. Tony, 6. Scraby, 5. 2 left.
Oh, gosh.
Couple of division winners here. Who was better? Chicago Bears, Houston Texans.
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 Bears.
Bears.
Same.
One winner that round.
Me.
Thomas.
Dang it! Let's go! No!
The Bears were 12-4. The Texans were 11-5. The Bears were 12-4.
But didn't the Texans win like 9 straight or 10?
Yes, they did.
That's why
they did,
I picked them, because I thought they would have caught
whatever
them.
Whatever they did.
The Bears?
They fouled up short.
How did they become 12-4 with a coach that can't get over a kicking game?
Well, he didn't get over that defense until the playoffs happened.
All right. All right, this is the last one. So Thomas gets it, he wins it. Scraby, you've been eliminated already.
We'll let Thomas go
so
first.
If you don't mind, if you want to, Scraby,
I'm out.
You can
I'm
be out.
Out
of this question.
I'm out.
Because you're out. All right. I will tell you in advance that both of these teams had a tie last year. Who had a better record, the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Minnesota Vikings?
Steelers.
Steelers, says Thomas.
Vikings.
You got to say Vikings because you need one to tie. But you didn't tie. Thomas wins. Steelers were 9-6-1. Vikings 8-7-1. So Thomas gets 8 out of 12. Tony 6. Scraby 5. That's the final score in our NFL quick quiz.
How is Thomas so good at this?
It's hard to do. I mean, unless
you know a bunch of like, useless facts.
If you're looking right at the standings, you're like, oh, yeah. But if you're just trying to think back to last season and remember everyone's record, it's much tougher than you think.
But Tony made a good point about the Dallas and Seattle game, like the home field, thinking about the playoff matchups.
That's why I put that
some
in
of them
there.
Were,
a little sneaky by me on that one. All right, Scraby, we turn it over to you for
PPP.
Triple P.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
PPP.
You can put a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute.
Forgot about that.
Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Aww.
Now, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Padres Pen Pals is what the Triple P is called, or the PPP, or whatever you want to call it. But what it is I ask a question on a Facebook group, the San Diego Friarhood, and I pretty much am the liaison between the Facebook group to Tony and Chris, because they are the Padres experts.
Let's
go,
liaison.
I have
some Oakland Raider guy just scored a touchdown in a preseason game and then shushed the crowd as if anyone was making any noise.
Hey, is that the kid that's from
Doss?
I think it might be him.
Doss. That's funny.
They had in this latest episode, they featured him a lot in this one. All right, so our first Padres pen pal is, and by the way, I don't not ask questions because I'm trying to help anyone. I don't ask some questions because we can't ask the same question every single week.
Don't listen to Twitter, bro.
No, it was Facebook.
Oh,
just go forward with your pen pal segment and don't worry about the critics.
Okay.
Tony and I will be more than enough critical of it.
Okay, all right, good point.
Yeah.
All right, first pen pal is Jim Grant. He says, my question starts with a statement made by Tony's father years ago. When asked on a radio interview, quote, who is the toughest pitcher to hit off of, end quote, he's very sure the questioner was looking for a particular pitcher, but Mr. Gwynn gave a very insightful answer. He said, the guy who makes me move my feet. My question, do you feel the Padres pitchers have done a good job this year doing that? I yell at the TV every time I see an opposing player hit two home runs in one game. Drives me crazy. Let's start with you, Tony.
I don't think anybody in the league does it right, except for like a handful of guys. Scherzer, Kershaw, like the guys who are really, really good do it.
Guys who own the game.
Right. There's a reason. Nobody's comfortable in an at-bat against them. And that doesn't mean you hit a guy. That means you use the inner portion of the plate to your advantage. And so to answer your question, besides a handful of guys, nobody utilizes moving the feet like, you know, my dad was talking about.
Chris, do you feel Padres pitchers have done a good job moving the feet?
No, I do not. And
can you guys explain?
But they're not alone.
So,
well, moving. Go ahead, Tony.
Moving, when you get in the box, right? As a hitter, you want to be comfortable. You want to feel like there's nothing in the back of your mind that says this guy might lose one inside. So
and hit me
and hit. Me. And okay. So more guys. There's a reason, in my opinion, that more guys get hit in the face than I can ever remember prior to the last like 7 years, and that's because game has become. They don't utilize that enough anymore. So guys are more comfortable at the plate. They get off their best swing. There's no fear of that. And I think generally, basically what that means is you get a ball inside, you got to, you know, jump out the way. Regardless of whether you didn't get hit or not, it's in the back of your mind now that, man, he just lost one, almost hit me.
Yeah.
And it's a mental advantage for the pitcher. And, you know, guys like back in the day, Roger Clemens, Pedro Martinez, there's a reason why those guys were so effective, and it was because there was a slight fear.
Were good, and you were scared.
And you were a little scared, no doubt.
Although I will say Fernando Tatis Jr. had one of the great moments this year when he got buzzed and knocked down and got right up and hit a home run on the next
No better answer to that.
Who was that against? I can't remember, but it was a couple weeks ago. Maybe the Rockies. What a great moment that was.
Just some quick insight from a hitter standpoint. At least when I was playing, you knew that was a possibility, and it was about if you could get your mind to leave that out and almost be stubborn about it. Like, all right, yeah, you threw in there, so what? I'm still going to have my comfort. Yeah. More guys who did that, the more that brushback pitching in didn't work.
That showed me something about Fernando Tatis Jr., though, right there. A lot.
Yeah. Guts. All right, to our next pen pal, Matt Renick. And I love this question. Hypothetically,
I love Total Divas.
And I think Matt knows you guys because he said, hypothetically, we signed Tatis to a long-term contract today. How much and how long, Chris?
Oh. So, okay, I'm the GM and I'm...
You're the GM. How many years you giving him and how much money you paying
him?
Oh,
I'm giving him like 10 years and I guess I got to give him...
Is he worth more than Manny?
I'm giving him Machado money. Yes, the same as Machado.
10 years, 300 million.
That is so crazy.
That is crazy.
But in this day and age...
600 million.
You could do
players.
Worse.
Wow, that's almost...
What'd you say?
600 mil and two players?
It's above halfway to $1 billion on two guys.
That's insane.
It's not my money. He didn't ask me to spend money. He asked me to spend Fowler's money.
Tony, hypothetically, the Padres signed Tatis to a long-term contract today. How much and how long?
Oh, man. Well, the truth of the matter is the way this works is, as a GM, I'm going to look at the next comp, right? Who's a young
Acuna?
Acuna, Albies. You know, you start putting them in that. It's probably more Acuna. You don't play the same position, but young.
But everybody said Acuna took less than he needed to.
But the reason why they say that is because the next guy that signs behind him is going to get comped close to that, and that's why the union is like, I'm sure, is pulling their hair out on this one.
Right.
But if I'm being fair, and I want to keep him. I say you go, you know, less years and more money. So let's say, like, Albie's got, what, 6 for $100?
Yes.
Let's go, like, 7 for 150.
Wow. Nice. That is a big raise for Fernando Tatis.
So is 10
not
for
as much as mine was.
That's true. That was a good one. Thank you, Matt, for that. All right, next up in our Padres pen pals.
I want Ron Fowler to have to sell all his homes and vehicles.
The next question is, Magyar CJ Good. He calls in all the time, so thank you.
He's very good.
What does Moises Alou showing up in Amarillo last night mean? Scouting, coaching, or preparation, Tony?
Well...
Can you give us a little context?
Yes, Moises Alou was in Amarillo.
Was he sitting
with
the stands?
No, he was in the dugout with the coaches. There's a picture of him.
If I'm not mistaken, he's one of, like, he's on the staff. Like, not on that staff, but he roves.
He does something with the Dominican players.
He roves around, I think. So he'll stop in and see. First of all, if you're grooming him for a coaching position, you're not having him just stop by for one game. Like, that's like Rob Rojas was groomed. You know, to be a coach at the big league level, he had to be a manager for a few years. That's how it kind of works. I don't know what to read out of that. I don't know that you necessarily read anything out of it, honestly.
Social media is ablaze with that Moises Alou is taking over the manager. Yeah. I don't know. Where did that come from?
I don't know. I've heard that, too. But I don't know how accurate it is, though.
Because his dad was a manager, and he's been in the Padre farm system dugout. So that's good enough for social media.
Really quick, John McLaren, I'm going to paraphrase your question. Is Tatis injury prone, and is that going to hurt his contract situation?
I don't think he's injury prone, but I do see some similarities to him and Bryce Harper when he first came into the league. They play so hard that, you know, you're going to have some injuries. And you think about the injuries he's had a hamstring and he's had a back. And then you think about the time he's contorted his body to get into positions.
Oh, yeah.
He's diving all over the place. That's the first place it hits you, is in that lower back doing all that. So I just think over time he'll learn to measure himself a little bit more, and we won't have these injuries. I don't think he'll be injury prone.
Anything to add, Chris?
Yes, Machado will teach him how to jog down the first baseline once in a while.
I don't think he can do that. All right, to our last pen pal, real quick, Michael Cummings. He didn't think I was going to ask this, but here we go. How soon after Kinsler gets his 2,000th hit is he DFA'd? He's on 1,999. Chris, you're up first.
I think he gets DFA'd before his 2,000th hit.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, wow.
I think he's going to be here the rest of the year. I don't think they're just going to... I think it would be a bad look to just dump him right now. So yeah, I don't think it'll be... I don't know how many hits after 2,000 that'll be, but I think he'll be here the rest of the year, and then he'll move on.
What is the point of DFAing him this late anyway? He's going to get his 2,000 hit, and...
He's not a fan favorite, that's why.
That's fine. That doesn't mean they DFA people because they're not a fan favorite.
Yeah.
He'll finish the year out as a Padre. He's got another year on the contract. Now, what they do after remains to be seen, but... he'll finish the year on this roster.
All right, thanks to all of our pen pals.
Plus, they need him coming out of the bullpen.
They do. Matt Renick, Magyar CJ Good, John McLaren, and Michael Cummings.
Thank you, guys.
All right, everybody, we won't see you until Wednesday. Hang in there. Enjoy Padre baseball for the next few days. Tony and I wish you a great weekend and the rest. We will have some... I'll be back tomorrow for some Padre pre- and post-game, but... The Gwen and Chris Show returns next Wednesday, so make a note of that. Thanks to Scraby. Thanks to Odd Thomas. Thanks to Sue D. Thanks to all of you for being part of the program on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.